The Institute was struggling for space with a permanent staff of 6 and almost a dozen visitors. Bohr was already making plans to expand. Over the next 2 years, the adjacent land was bought, and 2 new buildings were added that doubled the capacity of the Institute. Bohr and his family moved out of their flat into a large, purpose-built house next door. The extension meant a substantial renovation of the old building that included more office space, a dining room, and a new self-contained 3-room flat on the top floor. It was here that Pauli and Heisenberg often stayed in later years. There was one thing that no one at the Institute wanted to miss: the arrival of the Morning Post. Letters from parents and friends were always welcome, but it was correspondence from far-flung colleagues and the journals that were seized upon for the latest breaking news from the frontiers of physics. However, not everything revolved around physics, even if much of the talking did. There were musical evenings, games of table tennis, hiking trips, and outings to watch the latest motion picture. Heisenberg had arrived with such high hopes, but his first few days at the Institute left him feeling frustrated. Expecting to spend time with Bohr almost as he stepped through the front door, he had hardly seen him. Used to being the best, Heisenberg was suddenly faced with Bohr's international posse of brilliant young physicists. He was intimidated. They all spoke several languages, while he sometimes struggled to express himself clearly in German. Enjoying nothing more than walks in the countryside with his friends, Heisenberg thought that everyone at the Institute possessed a worldliness that he did not. However, nothing left him as despondent as the realization that they understood much more of atomic physics than he did. As he tried to shake off the blows to his self-esteem, Heisenberg wondered if he would ever get the chance to work with Bohr. He had been sitting in his room when there was a knock on the door, and in strode Bohr. After apologizing for being so busy, he proposed that the two of them go on a short walking tour. There was little chance, Bohr explained, of him being left alone long enough at the Institute for the pair of them to talk at any length. What better way of getting to know one another than a few days of walking and talking? It was Bohr's favorite pastime. Early the following morning, they caught the tram to the northern outskirts of the city and began their walk. Bohr asked Heisenberg about his childhood and what he remembered about the outbreak of war 10 years earlier. As they headed north, instead of physics, they talked about the pros and cons of war, Heisenberg's involvement in the youth movement, and Germany. After spending the night at an inn, they walked to Bohr's country cottage in Tiswilde before heading back to the Institute on the third day. The 100-mile walk had the effect that Bohr desired and Heisenberg craved. They got to know each other more quickly. They had talked about atomic physics, yet when they finally returned to Copenhagen, it was Bohr, the man, rather than the physicist, that had captivated Heisenberg.